The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain has inspired thousands to stretch, push beyond their limits, and go an extra mile. Renee Gutifroy's story of grit, perseverance, courage, and growth through change is one that completely shatters the ceiling of doubt and fear, and the fear of change itself. Renee's a recognized authority on performance and change management for organizations, but his unlikely journey began in an isolated and impoverished village in Haiti. Joining us on the line from Atlanta right now to share his extraordinary story and vision is author, speaker, and thought leader, Renee Gutifroy. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, David.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Brain.
It's great to be on your show here.
Well, you've got an extraordinary story. If you would, and I know many ask you, share the events, tell us the story that ultimately led to your career or the idea to become an author and a speaker.
Well, first, why don't we go back to the very start. When I started in Haiti, the struggle that actually brought me to this country. I was born in this tiny village in Haiti, very primitive, and struggled a lot. My mother had left me when I was 9 months old, not because she was a bad mother, but she had to go to the city to find a better way. I became very sick. I fought, battled, and many predicted I would not survive in the village. And I did left the village, went to Port-au-Prince when I was about 7 years old and met with my mother again. And there again, it was a struggle. Mama lived in a little shack infested with rats and roaches. I had a sister and a brother. We all slept there on the floor. And eventually I was playing theater, drama with a group and left Haiti, went to Montreal, and I found a way to come to this great country. But David, one incident, when I was 9 years old, I was going to Chandomars. I was walking behind the American tourist with an extended hand, asking for spare change. And one American couple gave me a dime, and they touched me, and that felt so good. And that experience, as a result of that experience, a dream was born in my heart. I said to myself, one day, I want to go to the United States of America to eat lots of rice and chickens. So I'm about sick of rice and chickens now. Wonderful. But America was the promised land for me.
I'm curious, you said that the couple touched you. Tell me a little bit about that. Do you mean physically touched you or
well,
with your hand?
You
or,
know how you give a kid something and you pat this kid and touch
yes.
the kid and make
yes.
the kid feel like, I'm not giving you something, I care.
Right.
So that's how I read it.
Right.
And that felt so good because prior to that, the first time I was ever touched was when I was 7 years old, when my mother did. In Port-au-Prince, when I met her, you hear, I read in psychology today, it is said children who are not held, touched, and cuddled have a tendency to shrink instead of growing. And coincidentally, today, as I travel this country to speak to audiences all over North America, I realize that I'm speaking to a lot of starving children also, and they are shrinking inside emotionally because they are not being touched. I say that to business owners as well. You are not touching your customers enough. That's why your business is shrinking. And, it's this emotional part of people want to know that they are important. David, at the end of the day, they don't really care about our product, our name, and what we offer. And most entrepreneurs tend to think that's what's important. So they spend a lot of time working on the brochures and the marketing piece and the full-color picture. And because it's all about them, they think. But the customer wants to know they are the center of attraction. And it's about them. So that's the whole thing about that special touch and causing somebody to expand and grow emotionally inside is a great, great strategy for salespeople and entrepreneurs.
It's quite extraordinary, too, how you were able to take an instant early in your life and then expand that to what now has become a career, a purpose, a set of principles and values that you share and live by yourself. I'm curious, how did the original notion to become a speaker, a public speaker or a presenter, how did this first hit you?
After I had arrived in America, I was spinning my wheels in South Florida, Miami. I arrived in Brooklyn, which was not my idea of America. It was Flatbush. And I was like, is this America? And I said, yeah, this is America. I said, well, I want to go to where they had some Haitians where I can find my community.
Right.
So there was a community there, but I decided to go to South Florida. And by the way, here's a tip for your listeners. If you ever want to learn how to speak English, David, I would not suggest you go to Miami. Because I did learn how to speak Spanish. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Spanish. It's a beautiful language. But I ended up learning Spanish before I learned English because I moved to a place called Hialeah, and everybody spoke Spanish there. So I became a boat carpenter. I washed cars on the streets of Miami. Coincidentally, I experienced many rejections because I did not speak any English. And there were many people who assumed that I was not intelligent because I could not express myself.
Interesting.
And I ended up doing menial jobs on the street. One of my first businesses were in America was I started with $3. And I bought me a bucket and towel and a bottle of dishwashing soap. And I went to South Florida in a bank called Total Bank. And I started pounding on the cars, the windows, and asking the people, would they let me wash the cars? What was remarkable about this, David, I became suddenly the 9-year-old boy walking behind the American tourist again. But this time I was not asking for a handout. I was asking for a chance to start in America.
Yeah.
But as you, there's a remarkable lesson in this because if I don't know if you've been to one of the Caribbean islands before and the kids were working behind you asking you for money. If you say no, no matter how many times you say no, they will continue to ask you. And they will not leave you alone until you give them something, right?
I have experienced that, yes.
That's right.
As a tourist.
And so that mentality and mindset that I came to America with is in sales, in business, people who are business, I think they don't have that mentality. They have to develop the poor kid mentality and then keep asking and keep asking because usually it's just like the timing is not right. And eventually, if we keep asking, we'll find the prospect or the customer, you know, at the right mindset or time to get what we want. So in the parking lot, I got many rejections, but I kept asking until somebody let me wash his car and another did. And so my business started there. I was making about $40, sometimes $60 at the end of the week because I was working 2 days. On Thursdays and Fridays until, you know, they hired a maintenance manager and he decided to cut my job. I was devastated and I picked up my bucket and my sponge and stuff and went home crying. And instead of getting bitter, I decided to get better. And I started learning English and I was writing 3 words in my hand. At the end of the week, I'd review my words, and I bought children's book. And I would look at the pictures and the words to make sense and to learn some words. And eventually, I was speaking, and life was so good. Everything was wonderful. And then somebody from the bank told the chairwoman of the bank of the story, and I got invited to go back to that same bank to have breakfast with the bank officers. What's remarkable about this, David, is the top floor of the bank was fascinating to me. I was always thinking, who gets to go to the top floor? I wish one day I could go to that top floor, if only to pick up trash in the parking lot. And that day I went to have breakfast with the bank officer. So it just says that America is the land of opportunity. It doesn't matter where you are and where you start and what you have right now. If you are willing to stay with it in spite of the challenges, the economy, and all that's going on, eventually you will succeed. You'll get what you want. David, let me say this to you. I was watching television once, and there's this chef, Boyardee, I think.
Yeah, Chef Boyardee.
Yes. And he said something on that interview. He said that by the time he realized that he didn't have enough talent to be a chef, it was too late. He had already been too successful. And so I was thinking to myself, that's what, when you have the staying power, when you stay in there, when you eat peanut butter, sandwich, whatever, and then you slip on the floor, whatever you have to do while you're building the business, and then have the courage and the bulldog tenacity to stay in it in spite of what your significant others may be saying, or friends, or neighbors, but you just stay in it because you have the focus and the vision. For me, if you look at me, you ask me how did I start in the business, I was working as a doorman at a hotel. I was, eventually I left Miami, came to Atlanta. I was parking cars and I was carrying bags. But when I was parking cars, whenever I noticed a book in the back seat of the car that I was parking, I'd go and buy the book. Somehow I figured out if those people are driving nice cars and they're staying in this expensive hotel, they must know something I don't know. Therefore, if they are reading a book, I have to get that book. And I started buying a lot of books, and I discovered Nightingale Cornet catalog. I ordered that catalog, and I started buying a lot of tapes. I was listening to them. I was just like reading and listening. And eventually, I said to myself, hey, you know, I'm listening to so many speakers and reading so many of the books. You know, I want to give the speaking thing a try. I want to speak. And then, you know, there was the voice in my head, and it's, you know, in everybody's head, yeah, trying to talk me out of it and trying to tell me, don't do it because you're not qualified. You didn't go to high school in America or college. You can't identify with the American audiences. But I didn't listen to that voice. First of all, I said to myself, listen, I can give advice here, because I realized Jerry Springer was giving advice in America. I said to myself, you know, it's not that hard. If Jerry can do it, I can too.
I love that.
So that's my entree in the speaking business. That's how I entered the business, actually.
I was going to say, if you're just joining us, we're visiting with Rene Godefroy. He's the author of Kick Your Excuses Goodbye. And also, you can reach him and find more information about Rene at www.goanextramile.com. Goanextramile.com is the website to book Rene for speaking engagements. Now, you've done quite a few speaking engagements. I know you just came off a road trip with a number of gigs. What kinds of companies are you talking to?
I talk to a lot of sales group, salespeople, entrepreneurs, but the message is so universal, I customize it. You know, I can go to IBM, or I speak to all the big companies, and what they do, they fill out a pre-programmed questionnaire, and they tell me about their challenges, and they give you a few names. I would call the people and ask them a few questions and learn about their industry. Then I'll take whatever they have, then I bring it, the backdrop of my story, the story is always there. Then every story, for example, the parking lot of the bank, I'd take it and wrap it around, let's say, if it's change that they want to address, then I'll talk about change, the changes that I faced when I came to this country. If it's about customer service, then, you know, I'll take the story and wrap customer service around it and make it kind of universal.
Interesting.
But salespeople, entrepreneurs, and pretty much everywhere, a lot of associations.
Now, Renee, when you ask the companies that you visit, the people in the companies, what their biggest challenges are, what challenges they're facing, what kind of answers do you get?
Well, doing more with less is a big one because of change. And they have a lot of people that are very resistant to change. And for some reason, they think it's because the CEO is mean. That's why they are shifting things around and not knowing that the world, because of global competition, we are forced to do things we never used to do in the economic landscape. And so change is a big thing. And there are a lot of people who are so resistant to change and new ideas. And they keep dreaming about the past, how it used to be, having 20 people. And now they have 5 people. And then instead of looking at what they have and what they can do with what they have, they keep thinking about how it used to be. And that tends to cause a lot of stress when we rehearse the past over and over. I have a concept that I call future time pondering, FTP. And I think entrepreneurs, that's a great thing. Instead of rehearsing the past over and over, is to rehearse the future and to, because hope is a great thing. If we have, I believe in goal setting, and for a long time I resisted it because it sounds like a little too cliche and people talk about it and we read about it in books, but it wasn't until I started writing goals and seeing that they were coming to pass, and sometimes I didn't even have to do anything by the very fact that I write those goals down, and I would check my goals and say, oh my God, this had happened already, and that had happened already. But some people, sometimes they are too clever and too smart and too educated. They've read too many books and listened to too many speakers, and to do the simple things, the basics, like writing goals. And I always challenge my audiences to go back to the drawing board and practice the basics. David, you know, entrepreneurs, what we do is we like a starving kid. We go to a cafeteria, we eat so much, and we are full, and because we read all the books, all the magazines, and we think we've figured out everything already. And so now we don't read anymore. We get the magazines, we put them somewhere, and let them gather dust. And we don't read the books. I believe there are three things, and I call them three secrets, David, on how to really make it during tough times, during a recession. And those three things, we must have them. And it doesn't matter what level we are in the company. You could be the CEO or the janitor, but if you really want more, you need first to have a mentor. You must have a mentor. And second, you must have a mastermind group. And third, you have to have written goals. These three things are imperative. It's non-negotiable. If you don't have those three things in place, you must be kidding somebody, and that somebody is you. It's your business. Does that make sense?
That makes great sense. Thanks so much for that. You know, we're running flush out of time. I wanted to say that we're visiting with Renee Godefroy. The website is goanextramile.com, goanextramile.com. He's the author of Kick Your Excuses Goodbye, an extraordinary read, and a man with an extraordinary story as well that he's now sharing in the form of speaking engagements and more book writing, we hope. Renee, we'll do it again for sure. Thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain this morning.
David, before, let me say this one thing.
Absolutely.
There are probably a lot of your listeners who hear about the question about speaking. They might be interested on I just finished writing a very special report on how emerging speakers can actually make it big in the speaking business.
Perfect.
And if you don't mind, I'll give that link.
Yes.
You can check it out.
Perfect.
It's www.speakingforaliving.com/biz, B-I-Z.
speakingforaliving.com/biz is the link to some free information about how to break into the world of speaking publicly and for corporations. Is that
that's correct? Yes.
Okay, great. Renee, yes. Godefroy, thanks so much for joining us on The Brain. Once again, www.goanextramile.com. The book, Kick Your Excuses Goodbye. We'll do it again.
All right. Have a great one, David.
You too.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America. If you'd like to find out about hosting your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.